Good afternoon, and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam. We are coming off of a historically bad episode. Let's just put that out on Front Street. I, in the last episode, made a prediction about the Dune release date shift. That was within 15 minutes of it being posted, was refuted by a report in the Hollywood Reporter. So, you know, rather than doing, like, some places where it's, like, when they have a historically dumb take, they pull it, I was like, fuck it, we'll just leave it up, you know, and not disclaimer it, and then we'll just, you know, move on. Like, it was like when what's it called? When it came out, like, in the lead-up to, you know, Chadwick Boseman's death, people were making fun of him for his appearance, because he looked a little gaunt and stuff like that, and people were making fun of him, and then it turned out he died, and he was fighting cancer for years, and rather than, you know, leave the stories up, these sites just pulled it and acted like it never happened, and the same thing happened to a much less serious degree with misinterpreting a fiscal year when it comes to, what's it called, when it comes to the, the Eternals, a possible Eternals delay, where it's like, it's going to come out in 2022, of course, for Disney, 2022, the fiscal year is a little different than the calendar year, so here we are. Now, as for where we stand with today's episode, we're just going to, you know, continue our thing, you know, it is what it is. And what we're going to talk about today is two video games. One we were going to talk about in advance. I talked about it the last time we did one of these backlog files episodes. And the last time, and the other one is one that I had an interest to go and play again. So I went back and replayed it. The first game is Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire, which came out in 2004, 2005, something like that. Either way, it came out in the mid-2000s, capitalizing on the success of Pokemon Pinball, there was the original Pokemon Pinball for the Game Boy, but then this was a version of that was created for Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, which came out in March of 2003. And I think that the thing with, you know, this iteration of the game is that it holds up very well. I went back and replayed it. I played it on my Wii U, which you won't be able to buy the game on the Wii U anymore because the Wii U is no longer has online capabilities. I had bought this before it stopped its, you know, its virtual console and its online eShop and all that good stuff. And this game holds up so well. The boards are, the arenas, or however you would call it, are very well designed. They can be frustrating at times, especially considering how much of the game is designed around getting the ball to get into certain areas, you know, without, you know, falling off the thing. Especially for things like evolution mode, where, you know, if you're doing evolution mode, you have to, well, basically, the goal is to collect Pokemon, as you would in a regular Pokemon game, but to do so, there are three methods. You can catch Pokemon, you can hatch Pokemon, or you can evolve a Pokemon. Catch, on both of them, you have to get the ball around in one direction. You have to get the ball in one direction, and then, you know, do that twice or three times, and it'll give you a Pokemon based on your area you're in, which is at the beginning of the level. The other way, you know, and then once you do that, you go into the mouth of either a Sharpedo or a Whalmer, and it launches the mode. Then you have to hit the bumpers, not the bumpers, at the back of the, I don't really use that terminology, but it's like, in one level it's Shroomish, in another level it's like, Chimchu. You gotta hit it three times, and then you gotta hit the Pokemon three times, and it's a whole ordeal. That's the easiest way. There's hatch mode, which requires you to get the ball into a certain area four times, and it'll it'll light up a thing, and then the egg will hatch. That's the sapphire one, and the ruby one, you gotta get the ball, you gotta hit a Cyndaquil back into this little hut, and that will hatch the Pokemon. So, those are both things that you have to, you know, do to get this mode to start. So, all of that said, those are the easy way to get Pokemon. Then there is evolution mode, which you have to, you know, get the ball around the opposite direction, around the back of a field, from catch mode. You gotta do that three times. Then you gotta get the ball into the mart. Because there is a Pokemart in both stages, and the Pokemart does give you extra, you know, you can use it to buy stuff, you get coins, and then you can use that to, like, get a ball saver, get a, what's it called, get a, you know, an extra life, you can use that to get a, you know, you can upgrade your ball, to make it, get more points, you can, like, all kinds of things like that are in the shop. So, when you do the evolution mode, what then happens is there are then three in the middle of the, what's it called, three things appear in, across the level. You have to hit all three in the order they appear. So it's like the first one will appear, you gotta hit that, then the second one will appear, you gotta hit that, the third one will appear, then you gotta hit that. And it's a real skill-based thing, where it takes a lot of getting used to. And then by the time you do all of that, you will have, you know, evolved Pokemon. That's worth two. And if you get three, for every three you get, you load a bonus stage. And my favorite of the bonus stages is the Ruby bonus stage, where you gotta get Kecleon. And what it is, you are in this little bonus map, and you have to, you know, use the paddles and the ball to knock over and then hit this Kecleon over and over again until it raises a white flag because you beat the fuck out of it. And it is mildly entertaining, and it's fun to do. There are also bonus rounds for Dusclops. There's a bonus round for Kyogre. There's a bonus round for Groudon. There's a bonus round for Rayquaza. And then on top of that all, there's also a bonus round for, what's it called? For, it's like Sveals and Whalerin, but it's not like a real, like, you know, catch, beat the crap out of it and do that. It's just, you gotta get the ball through the hoop, or the Sveal through the hoop. And you just gotta do that over and over again. But it is mildly entertaining, that mode. But yeah, it's definitely worth playing. If you can get a copy of it, you can probably get it relatively cheap at a local game store. And again, we've talked about this before, the issue with preserving games. Local game stores tend to run a little expensive, and then you end up, you know, with the game and all of that. So, we gotta do more for game preservation. And Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire is definitely worth playing if you haven't played before. The other game is A Bug's Life from PlayStation 1. And I think that this is a game that I never progressed pretty far in as a kid. And as I'm playing it, and as I was playing a few games on my PlayStation 1 days, I was like, man, I remember the day where, you know, the old school, like instruction booklets that came with the games back in the day, they were basically guides. Like, I remember the instruction booklet that came with this. You'd pull it out of the, you know, you get, it's like a CD-ROM case, this little, like, kind of a jewel case PlayStation 1 games came in, for those of you who don't remember, and you would, you know, or like a CD, like for music, and where the album artwork and the lyrics usually were on CD, it was an instruction booklet for the game. And back in the PlayStation 1 era, a lot of times it was a, you know, it was straight up a guide. Like, level listings, who was going to be in the levels, you know, what you had to do to beat the game, and little hints and tricks to do it. Then Prima got out there, and Prima started doing their, you know, their thing, and I gotta say, it's like, I miss the days of the Prima guide, and holy fuck, Regal is jammed. And look, I miss the days of the guidebook, you know, it was entertaining. But look, I look at these, you know, these games, and I look back on this one, and I remember having a hard time with this one as a kid, because there's a little bit of a difficulty curve to this game, and to this day, playing the game now, having, you know, not played it in 15, 20 years at this point, I was like, oh, this game is a little bit difficult. There is still some difficulty to it, where it's, you know, you have to, one of the things, you have to go around and you have to kill everything in the level, and if you go out of sight, it appears again, but if you get the golden berry, you can permakill it, and that's the gold medal in each level, is permakill every enemy. So, it can get time consuming, because you have to go around and kill everything in the level, but it also, you go through and you gotta murder, like, kill everything, like, that, you know, and to get to the gold, it requires a lot of strategy. You gotta find all the little tokens, or you gotta find the one that's in the level somewhere. It's a token that just is, like, you'll find just the berry if you collect that. You got it, you're good. Like, it's not the easiest gameplay loop on the planet. And that, to that end, was kind of my issue when I was a kid, because I never put two and two together when I was playing as a kid. By the time I got to level 4, I was like, oh, fuck, what do I do now? So you take it out, and then you would just die if you hit the ground, not figuring out that you had to hit all of the little, flowers that blow air up and, you know, jump and jump and jump. And that would do... That's how you beat the level. I never figured that out. So I would just keep dying and dying and dying. But it's an entertaining enough game. And it does follow the story. And as I was playing this game, I was thinking back, and we really are missing out today. We do not have the market for licensed video games like we used to. We did not have the robust world of games like where you get to go out and you know, if a movie comes out, there is a licensed game related to it. There's a new TV show. There are licensed games tied to it. If there's a new, if there's something mildly popular, there is a licensed video game of it. We don't live in that world anymore, which is kind of a shame, because there were a lot of really shitty ones, but there are a lot of classic games that appear in that realm. And if we go back and look at, like, Disney re-released a collection of three of their most famous games. They re-released it with Jungle Book, The Lion King, and Aladdin. For the Sega Genesis, and those three games all are very good games. And, like, A Bug's Life is really good. What was the other one that was really good? Toy Story 2, another really good one. Buzz Lightyear of Star Command was another pretty interesting game. It's difficult to this day, but it is, you know, it is entertaining and worth playing. What else is there? Especially considering how quick it's moving that game. There was a Disney World racing game that I went back and played after watching Haunted Mansion this week, and I was like, oh wow, they really did, number one, in the game really nail a lot of the parts of the ride, but the movie too, where the look and feel really does mirror the ride, even if the external part of the mansion is the second mansion they go to in the movie. If you want to hear thoughts on Haunted Mansion, check it out. We have a review on Beware of Spoilers about it. But look, if you're going in and you're seeing, and you want to see these games really start to, I think what happened was game development got too expensive. And as game development started getting more expensive, people started accepting more out of these games. It was just not worth the time. Because we got to, like, Iron Man and Captain America and that era, and we get less and less of these. You don't have the big licensed games for every movie. Even SpongeBob wasn't getting the big licensed games. I mean, we got Cosmic Shake this year, which is kind of a spiritual successor to Battle for Bikini Bottom, but that wasn't great. And I'd rather go back and play Battle for Bikini Bottom, the rehydrated edition, than play Cosmic Shake. Cosmic Shake is really not good. I just feel like there's a, you know, we need to get back to this, I think. I think that, like, There's got to be a way to find this happy medium, because the more they do this and the more of these games that come out, the more opportunity there is to have something truly great come along. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of it did lead to innovation. Like, we talk about the impact of licensed games. It's like, look at, you know, we wouldn't have Command & Conquer or the modern, like, 4X strategy game in the style of Civilization without Dune. Because without Dune, Battle for Arrakis for Sega Genesis, we don't have a lot of the tropes that go into what that genre now is. So it's one of those things where, like, you look back and you're like, oh, holy shit, this is a necessary thing. So, like, when I hear things like the Paramount executive saying, oh, no, we need to do, we're only going to do IP, it's like, look, on one hand, it's like, look, you got to let new people in. If you're going to have people who have takes on your existing IP, that's a way to stagnate on that front. But then on the other hand, it's like, we look at what's come out this year in movies, and, you know, Across the Spider-Verse and Into the Spider-Verse, the two, you know, the Spider-Verse movies are built on existing IP. And those movies fundamentally changed animation. And look at, you know, the art style that went into Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Look at the art style that went into, what's it called now? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which comes out this weekend, or next week, and I'm seeing it on Saturday. It's just, you know, we can look at, like, you know, yeah, originals may not sell as well as established IP, but a lot of times even established IP doesn't sell as well as people think it does. So, look, I'm not saying there is a right answer to this, but, like, I think totally eschewing the world of established, you know, IP, and or going the complete opposite direction and only doing established IP and doing no more originals neither is the correct answer. But I think in the world of video games, I think allowing smaller studios leeway to create a game based in a world that's already established, it can only benefit them. Because if you go to a small studio and you're like, hey, we want to make a game for this, it'll bolster the small studio by letting them get attached to the IP, and it'll bolster everyone else. And I think that that's kind of what happened here, because this, like, Disney was working a lot with Traveler Tales at the time, and that's kind of where this was all coming from, where it was, I think that for certain, this was a Traveler Tales game, and I think also Traveler Tales also did, what was the other one? Buzz Lightyear, no, not Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story 2, I think was also Travelers. And if that's the case, like, if you can, you know, that put, like, I knew who they were because they were a publishing partner for Disney Interactive, and I knew at that point that if I picked up a game and I saw that, you know, that animal sitting on the mushroom, I was like, I'm in for a good time. I remember being, like, 5-6 years old and knowing that, just because, like, that was, I think, the first developer I knew was Traveler Tales. And that's kind of the kind of thing where it's like, if we let developers do their thing, but with IP, and not just be like, and I think that the bigger issue here is the idea of the sure bet. No one wants to take a risk. It's not that people are creatively bankrupt. It's not that we don't have new ideas. It's not that these, you know, these other studios can't handle it. It's that if it bombs, you lose money, and no one wants to lose money. And everyone is so risk-averse that that's kind of where we are. We're not going to take the big swings because we don't want there to be the financial downturn that will happen if it doesn't work out. And therein lies the problem more than anything else. But look, go check out A Bug's Life. That you can probably get reasonably cheap at a store. It's for the PlayStation 1 this edition. But we'll wrap up there for today. The next game we're going to talk about, we're going to do SpongeBob SquarePants Revenge of the Flying Dutchman, which is the lesser-known 3D platformer SpongeBob game that everyone knows about from Bikini Bottom, but very few people remember Revenge of the Flying Dutchman. And until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.